Now, in recent weeks, we've seen numerous public personalities being identified, outed as sexual abusers, long histories of criminal sexual behaviours inflicted upon members of their community and members that are usually in a less powerful position than them. And the revelations have spread from Hollywood into the adjacent world of stand-up comedy, cable news, of course, and even over to British Parliament. Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, Louis C.K., Bill O'Reilly earlier this year, and UK Defence Minister Michael Fallon have all been forced to resign or step away from the limelight in disgrace for their actions. And of course, on social media, we've seen the hashtag MeToo campaign. It's brought a further outpouring of personal stories as people unite in, well, anger and truth-telling, bringing their lived experiences of abuse into the light. Are we finally listening to what women have been saying for a long time? And is there hope that these institutionalised cultures of secrecy and exploitation are crumbling? Jane Caro is, of course, a feminist, author and social commentator. Jane, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, it is only a few months that we chatted about your book, Unbreakable, which, of course, was sharing women's stories of resilience and hope. A lot's happened since then. Were these floodgates opening? Was this inevitable?
Maybe so. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I'm not going to give all that much credit to Unbreakable for helping open these floodgates, but maybe my publishers and I sniffed something on the wind that we weren't entirely, you know, even conscious of, that somehow the times were on our side for a book in which women talked about their experiences, mostly, not exclusively, but mostly of sexual harassment and assault. And I do think that social media has become a kind of revolutionary technology, particularly for women and for LGBTQI people and for other outgroups, because I think what it's done is it's given those people unfettered access to the public conversation for the first time in history. And the inevitable result of that has been that we're actually hearing for the first time what their lives are like. And, that is really starting to have an impact, and it is really starting to undermine the power imbalances, which I think are at bottom of this kind of behaviour. I don't think for an instant that men are horrible and women are lovely. I just don't think that's the way it works. I think that when some people have power over other people, some of them will abuse that power and use it in ways that are quite appalling. And, really right still to this day, it is more likely for white, straight men, not entirely straight, as we've heard from Kevin Spacey, but white men to have power over other people. And that's why it's looking the way it is. It's actually about power imbalance and how that creates vulnerabilities.
I'm not going to ask if you're shocked by the quantity and scale of what's coming out of, especially, say, the entertainment industry, but are you surprised by the credence that women are finally being given when they won't repeat things they've been saying for a while, that this is happening?
I'm not surprised by the credence in one way, in that I think women for sure knew that this kind of stuff has always gone on. So that's 51% of the Australian population that, knew it was happening. I have seen much more shock and surprise on the part of many men that it's happening to the scale that it's happening. And I guess I kind of expected that. They were protected from it. And I think to some extent turned their faces away, didn't want to know, which is understandable. Why get yourself caught up in a can of worms if you don't have to? That's a human response. I'm not going to, apportion blame for that. But I think what is interesting is when you get the numbers of women coming forward to talk about Harvey Weinstein or Bill Cosby or Bill O'Reilly or, a lot of the people, Jimmy Savile, who, died before it all was revealed, but perhaps was the beginning of this wave, it becomes impossible to say that all these women are lying. And I think that was one of the ways that women got dismissed in the past, because it would be one woman who might, poke her head above the parapet And it was much easier for people to go, rubbish, she's exaggerating, you know, or she's lying or whatever else. She wants to destroy his career. And what would happen then is other women would say, right, I'm not going to say anything because it'll rebound horribly on me. But there is safety in numbers. And the social media has given women the opportunity to join together in great numbers. And what we're seeing is the terrible silence that surrounded this behaviour for probably, you know, hundreds of years, if not more, has been shattered. And the great thing about that is silence protects perpetrators. It creates an atmosphere in which people can get away with this behaviour. And when they know that people are likely to speak up about it and be believed that there might be consequences, that may have a real effect on certainly reducing this behaviour at the very least.
What about the contrast of what we're seeing out of Hollywood compared to, well, even today, US politics, especially around Roy Moore, incredible supporters coming out to say that they just flat out don't believe the multiple claims that are being made?
Well, unfortunately, I think where you're hearing most of that is in American evangelicals. And there is more evidence coming out that, in a way, evangelicals, very, very fundamentalist religious people, both Christian and lots of other religions, almost seem to feel that 14-year-old girls are fair game. There's a real tendency amongst fundamentalist religious people to want to marry daughters off very young. You know, it's almost a protect their virginity thing. I think I would be very interested to know how Roy Moore's reputation would have been affected by the people who support him if he'd been accused of the same behaviour with 14-year-old boys.
Yes.
They would have walked away from him. Unfortunately, I think it is one of the characteristics of evangelical religious belief and fundamentalist religious belief of all flavours. I'm not singling out Christians here, right across the board. And I'm also talking about really fundamentalist belief, that it is very anti-women, very, very anti-women, and tends to see women as temptresses and really to be controlled and to be managed and groomed by men and formed by men into the creatures that they want them to be. And hence, they actually don't see this as particularly morally reprehensible, which to me is appallingly morally reprehensible in itself.
It's remarkable, actually. Jane, just finally, is this a proper wave of change? I mean, are we actually breaking these cultures of silence and intimidation finally? Or are we worried that maybe this is just a blip where we can point out a few people that we castigated and said, well, there, we've fixed it?
Yeah, you mean, is it just a social media grass fire? There's been a lot of them. Look, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball any more than anyone else does. But I have never seen a wave of anger, determination and truth-telling from women in such mass numbers before, and I don't think I can think of a period in history where it's happened before. So I would have to say that all the signs, from the point of view of someone like me, are very hopeful that women are at last able to band together. I mean, we see it in India. We see it in India with the women of India holding those men who commit those rapes to account in a way that the law won't. So it isn't just a Western phenomenon. It's a phenomenon of social media. It's a phenomenon of the voice that women are able to have thanks to social media, and also other outgroups are able to have. We're looking at racism in different ways. We're looking at certainly gay rights. Who would have believed 10 years ago that almost the whole, you know, the Western world would have legalized same-sex marriage, and let's hope we do it very soon too at this point in history. The changes are phenomenal, but we're getting equal and opposite actions and reactions. So we're getting an increase in the right wing as we are getting in social conservatism and a kind of panic on that end of politics and fundamentalism as we are getting real progress and real change in other areas. It is the old Chinese curse. We live in interesting times.
Jane Caro, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Jane Caro there, feminist, social commentator and author and curator of the book Unbreakable, Women Share Stories of Resilience and Truth. We're going to pop up links to her book on 2SER.com.